Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
I saw Kanye was trending on Twitter, but I didn't want to click on it because I figured it was not something I needed to see or know about. I left that one alone.
Was it yesterday?
No, it was like an hour ago. I'm sure it's still there. No, it's not there anymore. Anyway, KM to AM, we have reached the 11th hour. Man, these shows have flown by. This is the third one in a row. We'll do this again tomorrow. So we're already 14 hours in. Here comes the 15th. And then we'll add another 5 tomorrow. That's 20. And then I'll see you Saturday. 888-808-1019. So before the break, I was talking about Nick Wright and him giving his synopsis on the 2024 Jets and what he thinks and how it's going to go. And Pat Boyle and Rami cooked it up. So let's play that audio for everyone to hear right about now.
Why would this Jets team get a better Aaron Rodgers than that Packers team did? Remove the Achilles. Let's pretend it didn't happen. Do they have a better coach? No, the Packers have a great offensive mind in Matt LaFleur. The Packers have Bob Saleh and an offensive coordinator they tried to replace in the offseason, but they couldn't competently do it. Oh, it's all these amazing weapons. I mean, Garrett Wilson's awesome. Breece Hall is a good to very good player who last year, even though the Jets tried to game the system in the final game of the year and give him 40 touches so he get to 1,000 yards, the coaching staff couldn't even do the math properly, and he finished at 992 when the whole game was to get him to 1,000. Like, the Jets don't have elite weapons. They have one great receiver. They don't have an elite offensive line. They just don't have a disaster at the offensive line anymore. And they don't have an elite quarterback. A quarterback who at age 38 was league average across the board, had the worst season that he'd had in 12 years, and then tears his Achilles, does not all of a sudden get awesome. He might get back to that level, and that level's not good enough. So, no, that's a very simple, obvious point. And I understand that the Jets have a lot of fans,
yeah,
which is remarkable because they've been one of the least competent organizations for 50 years across sports. And I think this year probably continues that.
J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Hey, don't let anybody rain on your parade, pun intended. It is pouring right now, and the Jets are going to win the Super Bowl and bring a parade back to New York City. Gary is in Waterbury. Gary, you're on the Fan.
McFair the Cavalier.
Yes, sir.
I smash teeth, F your beast, no relief. I step on stage.
Girls scream like I'm Keith.
And to all the Jets fans, you know, you stole my thunder. To all the Jets fans who think they're getting Devontae and they're going to win a Super Bowl in our lifetime, and you're younger than me, in the immortal words of Stone Cold Steve Austin, not happening. It's not going to happen. I can't wait till A-Rod goes down in week one or two again because he's an old geezer. I can't wait till he goes down. And I'm not saying that the Giants are going to win a championship, but the Jets fans think they won the Super Bowl already. Stop it. You know this.
Bro, Nick Wright just reminded me of so many things. I forgot they were trying to hire another offensive coordinator because Nathaniel Hackett is not it. I forgot that the math was not mathing, and they didn't know how many yards Breece Hall actually needed to get that man 1,000 yards. And it's been a long time since Aaron Rodgers has actually taken hits consistently on a week-to-week basis. It's been a long time since Aaron Rodgers has been on that NFL field.
They're acting like they're the champs already, and that's what I can't stand. I cannot. I'm a career Mets and Jets hater. You know that. I got to represent, you know, Giants, you know, Yanks. But they're acting like they won something when they haven't even won a playoff game.
They won the Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes. Aaron Rodgers chose
them. no, it can't happen. Like, we can't let them get away with that.
The NFL won't.
No, we can't. We can't let them. No, we can't let them slide.
The NFL won't. They have to play other teams.
And Judge has to, how soon it before Judge is at first base? Seriously, we need that.
2027.
No way.
You guys want to take this guy is still a good outfielder with a strong arm. I'm not in a rush to take him out of the outfield.
I know, but
he's got a 9-year deal. 2027.
I know, but they got to push him to first because we need him there. And, yo, and Keith, you're my dog. You know that. I love you.
Appreciate you, Gary. 888-808-1019. Yeah, give me three more seasons of Judge in the outfield before we really start talking about, okay, we got to put him at first. What's he, 32? Let him get to 35. Let him get to the other side of 35 before we're like, all right, put him at first base. Ben Rice exists. Before we convert Ben Rice to catcher. And, yeah, with the Jets, dude, let's look at their schedule now. Bum, bum, bum. The first week one is a loss. I don't care what happens. It's a loss. Brock Purdy can go down. Who's the backup quarterback for the 49ers now? That's a good, let's see, 49ers backup QB. No idea. Brandon Allen? Josh Dobbs? So maybe if you knock Purdy out of the game, if Hassan Reddick can show up for the Jets and knock Brock Purdy out of the game like he knocked him out of the NFC Championship en route to the Super Bowl 2 years ago, then there you go. How can we don't talk about Hassan Reddick? How can we just stop talking about that? What if he doesn't report to camp coming up? What if they don't get a deal done? That's going to be typical Jets. And I'm telling you, like, I understand what Aaron Rodgers was, but Aaron Rodgers told you when he came out of the darkness retreat that he was 90% retired. And he looked so much four plays in. And from my little bit of experience playing football, the longer that you're not out there taking full speed reps, getting hit, getting in and out of, like, it's, I don't know, man. I hope this offensive line is as good as it's built to be. Let's take a look at the Jets schedule. So they lose going all the way across the country to Santa Clara to face the 49ers. That 49ers defense is hell. And they're getting Tuilagi Fufanga back. I can never pronounce dude's name. You know who he is. The safety from the 49ers who gives you Troy Polamalu vibes. Let me look up his name. Talanoa Hufanga. I got to remember that. That's just like Tua Tagovailoa. It's not just like it, but at least I know how to say that. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Anyway, Jets start off 0-1. Then you got to go to Tennessee. I know Brandon Tierney and those guys are going to be out there for that. Join the tailgate. Check out BT's Jetaways and whatnot. Free plug. You should be able to beat the Titans. I mean, anybody can go and beat the Titans, right? I don't know. They got Tony Pollard running the ball now. They've got Calvin Ridley there now. I think they're cooked. They should have never fired Mike Vrabel. You should beat the Titans. And then you come home in front of the Jet fan faithful, Jet Nation gang green. And here comes the Patriots. Are they going to start Drake May right away? Nah. Maybe you see Bailey Zappi. You should be able to beat the Patriots to go 2-1. Oh, and then here comes Zach Wilson and the Broncos. Zach Wilson will not be the starter. I think it's between Bo Nix and Jared Stidham. I don't think Zach Wilson's going to be the starter. You should be able to beat the Broncos at home and go 3-1. All right, it's looking like the Jets start off with a better record than the Giants. And then you go to Minnesota, to that football palace they built in Minnesota, indoors, perfect conditions. You can beat Sam Darnold unless Sam Darnold's looking for revenge. You should be able to beat, like, the Jets after, if the Jets somehow can beat the 49ers, they can start the season off undefeated. I don't even have to do that. Now we're getting all these Jets calls. Let's take this last Yankee call. Ryan is in Howell, New Jersey. Ryan, you're on the Fan in New York.
Hey, Mac, how are you, buddy?
You know, hanging out, doing the job.
I hear you, man. I'm sitting outside watching these thunderstorms. But I got to say something real quick.
Mm-hmm.
in the midst of all the football talk right now, you hit a little note on the Yankees about 5-10 minutes ago, and you graded their last game as a, I think, a B.
Their first half, I gave them a B minus. They could have been they could have been a B, maybe even an A minus if they finished the job.
I hear that. Now, what I want to talk about, right, because the Yankees finished a terrible series against Baltimore, but then it just fell into, you know, the All-Star break and everything else, and then the football training camp, so it all kind of got brushed under the rug. No one's talking about the Yankees and that last game against Baltimore. I want your take, because all my friends, they're blaming someone else, whether it be Verdugo, whether it be Volpe, whether it be
Clay. We start with Clay Holmes.
I mean, seriously, right? I mean, there would be no one on the base if it wasn't for Clay Holmes, right?
I leaned into this Monday, but I don't mind quickly surmising and doing it again. Friday night, when Clay Holmes Clay Holmes threw a 97-mile slider into the head of Heston Kerstad, it's like, whoa, scared everybody. And then Brandon Hyde wanted to bark and fight, and the benches cleared. It was raining like it is tonight. But, like, Clay is wild. He's out of control. He doesn't know where the ball is going, so much so that he knocked the guy's lid off. All right, whatever. Put that one in your back pocket.
It's just so tragic to see, like, I mean, the Yankees have been great at fighting back all season. Whether or not they're up 10 runs in the third inning or they're down 3 runs in the eighth inning, they fight their way back.
Oh, so, you're talking about the wasted efforts of young Ben Rice, who's got the clutch gene, TWTW, the will to win. Like, that young man, twice in the last week, he did it in the Rays series to try and help us when he had that knock to make it to score 4. And then he hit the 2-run homer to like, literally pick up the entire Yankees universe to be like, yeah, here we go. We're going to sweep them. We're going to end the first half in first place.
That was it. I was at work. I lost my stuff. I mean, he hit a rice ball, you know?
Cooked.
And then there I am watching Clay Holmes. I got my hands on my head, barely able to watch the TV because I have no faith.
It was Sunday. It was an early game. I got to do laundry. I got to be a dad. I got to be a husband. But I'm locked in. And all I'm saying, I even tweeted out just in capital letters, CLOSE, close. I knew it. I just knew. This guy has it right in front of him. Just go out there and throw strikes and let's get out of here. Done. The lights got brighter. The stakes got higher. It was so close you could smell it.
It's just another year of implosions.
And he absolutely folded. Now, there's people that are going to tell you, he got 5 outs. Listen, you can't walk 2 guys. I don't care who you are coming out of the bullpen. I don't want anybody coming out of the bullpen. I don't care if it's the 4th, 5th, 6th. You can't walk batters. And you can't do that with a struggling Orioles team. They were about to go L6. They were about to lose 6 in a row. They were fighting for their lives. You can't
sweeping
walk
that
batters.
Series would have been a major, major moment for the Yankees.
It would have, could have, should have been. But you know what? I think it's a blessing in disguise. Everything happens for a reason. It might have been more fool's gold if they went into the All-Star break in first place, sweeping a team, because that was the only series they were able to win in the last month. They couldn't complete sweep, and it's just another reminder, you're not that good. You couldn't tighten up. Volpe's play had a 99% chance to be made. Verdugo's play, I don't know what the hell happened to that guy. He was terrible hitting behind Judge the whole game. And then in the outfield, it looked like a little leaguer. It looked like little league. It didn't even look like Little League World Series. It looked like T-ball.
And that's, you know, you said something earlier today, and I forget what it was, but I have friends defending Volpe's play at shortstop, saying that, oh, it was a tough hop. I'm sorry.
When he's a gold
you're
glove.
Playing for the New York Yankees, making what you're making, there is no such thing as a tough hop.
I think it was in his
head.
You
make that play.
I think he was thinking too much about obviously not going to first, going to second, and getting out. He bobbled it. It was in his head. But you know how it gets in his head? Traffic on the base pass provided by Clay Holmes.
Yep. Listen, you can't score runs if there's no one on base. And that's where I think that the systematic problem is. Clay Holmes will let people on base.
Gave the Orioles fans life. They start chanting, let's go O's. I'm chanting, let's go home. Thanks for the call, Ryan. 888-808-1019. Now we're about to talk about the Jets. The Jets were on Hard Knocks last year. The Jets had all the primetime games last year. The Jets had all the hype last year. And zoop, four plays in, it came crashing down. And they won that game. They won that game. But then you had to go back to Zach Wilson. And then you eventually actually rolled Tim Boyle out there. And there were people telling you, Zach Wilson, he's going to be able to do it. Timmy Boyle, he can spin it. Jets are going to be all right. And Aaron Rodgers is coming back. Here we go again. Vinny's in Marlboro, next up on the Fan.
How's it going, Keith? How are you?
Good, good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, listen, man, I get it. Like, you know, I've been a Jets fan for way too long, so I know how this goes, and, you know, I know how it ends. But, you know, listen, you sometimes got to be somewhat objective, like just thinking about how far the roster's come, thinking about what the team actually physically looks like on paper. And I understand paper's different than what reality actually comes in. You played ball, so you understand how this works and how things have to gel and how things have to come together. But, I mean, it's pretty tough to just look at the Jets roster and not say to yourself, you know, this is a top, I would say top, you can argue as high as 7 or 8, but it's a top 8 roster in football right now.
I would say 100%. Top 10. Yeah, I just did a Bleacher Report stream, and I think I had them at 10.
And I mean, on the defensive side, I mean, look at PFF's rankings. I mean, I hate to tell you this, but when they're playing week one, PFF is going to come in. They're going to say that the Jets roster on defense is better than the 49ers this year. So
without Bryce Huff, you know,
just the,
without Hassan Reddick,
just a heads up. Yeah. Yeah.
Without Franklin Myers,
hold on. Let's just be real. Reddick is obviously at this point, the assumption is that he's going to play. I'm not saying he will, but if he does, if Reddick comes in, he's equal or better than Huff at this point in his career.
Wait, why is the assumption that he's going to play?
The assumption has to be that he's going to play at this point. Otherwise, what are you going to do, sit out and not make $20-something million?
What if he sits out and he's not ready to go week one? I don't know. Rob Saleh said he ain't heard from him.
Listen. Afterwards, Rob actually said that he has been in contact with him after that. Rob Saleh is a disaster in press conferences. I'm not arguing that point. But
yeah, they got to work on it. Hassan Reddick wants to play football. He's not going to get fined. Yeah,
I think he's playing, man.
He's going to play week one.
So if he plays, like, I don't know how you can argue that this Jets team, I understand John Packer Myers, but, I mean, they got Javon Kinlaw, dude. Like, it's not as though they're not replacing guys with other guys who can play. Like, the Jets defense is 100% going to be better if you just replace Bryce Huff with Hassan Reddick. I mean, that's a gift.
They got to tackle Christian McCaffrey. He's going to be as fresh as ever.
Okay, and they have two of the best inside linebackers in the league to do that.
C.J. Mosley's another year older.
Quincy Williams is a year older, but Quincy Williams is an animal.
He's in
like,
his prime.
He's probably arguably, like, you know, all I'm saying is, listen, they have dogs on this team that can get after it and can play on the defensive side of the ball. And I don't think, you know, when Nick Wright goes on his tangent, he realizes that, you know, the Green Bay Packers team did not have dogs on the defensive side of the ball and did not have this defense where it's pretty much a game where all Aaron Rodgers has to go out there and do is keep his butt on the field and make it so that he can actually last this season, which, I mean, that's a big if. But if he can, the point is, like, he's just got to hand the ball off to Breece Hall, who, for him to actually say that he's not a top three running back, I mean, he's insane. That's
he's being modest.
Clown show material.
Yeah, but in his mind, he hasn't really gotten to the heights that he wants to get to yet to deserve that.
Sure. But also, like, okay, but he's running behind the school of the blind offensive line, which –
and Nathaniel Hackett calling the plays, not realizing he's a horse.
Yeah, yeah. All I'm trying to say is, listen, at the end of the day, like, there's so much damn talent on this team. And listen, I know we can hate on Joe Douglas all we want, and I am, you know, at the end of the day, I am an eternal pessimist. But this is the first year where I can actually say, like, you know, we're trotting out a better team most weeks, and that hasn't been the case in a very long time, where I feel like every single week we should have the better roster. And I mean, when is the last time anyone as a Jets fan has ever said that?
Never.
It's not in my lifetime.
Never. And I will give you that. I just was going through the schedules, and I'm like, if you find a way to beat the Niners, you might start off undefeated.
Yeah. I mean, listen, the last thing I got to say just before I go, listen, at the end of the day, if I could hear what, like, you know, watching these Giant things, it's like, come on, guys. Last year you dogged us when we were the ones on Hard Knocks. This year you're on Hard Knocks. And honestly – you know, listen, Brian Daboll looks like he's a stud, and I think he presents extremely well. Joe Shane, though, I mean, like, leaves a lot to be desired when it comes to actually, like, saying his opinion on how to build a team. I mean, I actually kind of said the same thing. Like, it's like even the Saquon thing. It was like, do you want this guy or not? It seems like you just don't want him, and that's completely fine. That's roster construction. I get that. But, you know, if anyone is going out of their way saying this Giants team is much better than last year, is
no,
it?
No, we can't say that
is
yet.
Is it?
I mean, they added some pieces, but we don't know that it's much better. They might be the over-under 6.5. They might be a six-win team again.
Like,
and it all hinges on Daniel Jones. It all hinges on Daniel Jones and Drew Lock.
Yeah. We'll see. We'll see. All that, but, you know, as a Jeff fan, you're just hoping for the best. You got to hold your damn breath every year, and that's every year. But, you know, it's the first year again where on paper I feel like, man, this is weird. I've never thought this before, that I actually think
they're
my
stacked.
Team might actually be better.
Their roster is stacked. They should make the playoffs this year. Vin, thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. Coming up next, my Casamigos big shot of the night and the last 30 minutes or so of my show. This is Keith McPherson on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Swung on. There it goes. Deep left. It is high. It is far. It is gone. Number 62 to set the new American League record.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Welcome!
The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. No baseball, no All-Star game tonight, and I don't like to give this award out to losers, but history has been made. As I was waiting for Bronny James to get on the screen, Caitlin Clark breaks the single-game WNBA assist record in a career night for the Fever. Yeah, they lost 101-93 to the Wings. I have no idea where the Wings are from. Buffalo? It would make sense for them to be the Buffalo Wings, Rami. They're from Dallas?
No, I get it. Yeah, they're the Dallas Wings, yes.
I thought Buffalo was a better guess. Anywho, Caitlin Clark, 202 assists on the season. She had 19 assists tonight. But an L. No Buffalo Wings for her, but a record at that. And when I was talking about Bronny James, one of the first things I said, you guys think they're going hard on Caitlin Clark? At least she can hoop. She might be better than Bronny. She might be better. I'm just playing.
I'd pay to watch that one-on-one.
I mean, she might really actually be a better shooter than Bronny. No cap, like... She might have a better jumper. Bronny's jumper is trash.
Easy.
She's pissed. She'd be mad when they lose. They got 15 losses on the season, shorty. Get used to it.
And they lost a team at 6-19.
No ranch, no blue cheese. L's. All right, let's get serious. Let's get back to talking about sports. Something else from my notes that I wanted to bring to the table, man. It's unfortunate. You know, I'm glad I didn't go to the All-Star game this year. I really mean that. No FOMO. The Derby was trash. And I saw there were a lot of delays in the airport and a lot of issues coming back here because of the storms today. I just saw, what's this dude I follow his name on? Lil Mozzarella. You know, the Italian dude. How you doing? Like, yeah, Lil Mo Mozzarella. He was complaining about JetBlue and Delta and all this stuff. Well, I usually fly United. I got like 25,000 United miles. Hall of Fame running back Terrell Davis says he was placed in handcuffs on United Airlines flight. The Mile High salute? Do they not know who they're dealing with? I had a TD30 jersey. Everybody did. Everybody was... scoring touchdowns at recess doing the Mile High salute. Excuse me, say what? So if you go check out the real Terrell Davis on Instagram, he wrote a story and basically described what happened. Basically, he was on the flight with his wife and his three kids. and his son wanted some ice water. And the drink cart guy, and this happens to me all the time too, but I don't care. I'll yell. I'll be like, yo, hey, hey, my man, yo, come back, come back, come back. They'll pass you. They'll quickly, and sometimes I'll be asleep. Sometimes I have my headphones in, but like, let me get something, bro. Let me get a soda. Let me get a tea. Let me get a water, whatever. So they went past him, and I guess Hall of Fame running back Terrell Davis reached back and grabbed the guy to get his attention. And the guy said, don't hit me. And I guess they left it alone for a little while. But then when the flight landed, they came and put him in handcuffs in front of his family. He shouted, don't hit me, and left the cart to hurriedly approach the front of the plane. I was confused, as were the passengers in front of me who witnessed the exchange. I thought nothing of it other than this particular employee was incredibly rude and blatantly wrong in his accusations of me hitting him. I did not see or interact with him further for the duration of the flight. So they were going from Denver to Orange County, California, and FBI agents and local authorities came to his seat, placed him in handcuffs, and escorted him off the plane. But I'm sure one of those FBI agents or police officers was like, hold up, bro, that's TD. He ran for 2,000 yards. He's got Super Bowl ring. Like, hold on, bro. And, yeah, they let him go. But that's unfortunate. He says he's yet to hear anything from United Airlines, and it's been a traumatizing experience for his two sons, his daughter, and his wife. And they had to watch him get placed in handcuffs without due process or any explanation. And that cannot be undone. And I feel sorry for Terrell Davis and his family that happened. You know, sometimes fame can help you out in those situations. Sometimes people take those situations and escalate them for no reason on planes. Obviously, you're up there in the air and they have protocol and other things. I don't know. I remember some shenanigans happening with Odell Beckham Jr. and I got on air and told y'all about that. Hey, listen, that didn't need to happen. That didn't need to be escalated. But sometimes these people don't recognize who you are and they try to mess with you and they try and do things to you, and that's not right. So I'm sorry that happened to Terrell Davis, and hopefully United takes care of that. And I don't have any flights until next month. MLB Fan Cave reunion in Atlanta, which is the home of the 2025 All-Star Game. I'll probably be at the All-Star Game next year. I'll probably get right back and go down to Wakanda for the All-Star Game at Truist Park. 888-808-1019. I've got 20 minutes left to take your Jets calls, your Yankee calls, and whatever else. Mario, Long Beach. He's on the fan three times a day.
Yeah, what can I tell you? I tell him I'm a retired banker and I love sports.
You got the Midas touch, bro.
I went from a teller to vice president of a bank, worked my way up 45 straight years. So I deserve to listen to sports all day now, you know?
Yeah, that's an amazing life. God bless you and congrats.
45 years, pension, Social Security, everything kicking in, you know?
Kicking back and just listening to guys talk ball.
Yeah, and you know, I take it really seriously because I have a book and I write down who I'm speaking to, what I say every day.
You're well spoken, you're well prepared. I listen to the radio station like you do, and I hear you call other shows.
Yeah, and I know sometimes I hear, I'm not going to even say the names, people talk, they don't know what they're talking about. So, you know, do your homework before you talk, you know?
Like 60% of the time, more than half the time, people don't know what they're talking about.
No, but I mean, if you're a host on a show, you should know what you're talking about, you know?
Well, we're not perfect either, but yes, the host should be prepared.
Yeah,
but
do your homework. If you're going to say something, like I heard one time saying, oh, you know, Judge, he doesn't play that much of that. He plays like 95 games a year. No.
That's ridiculous. I don't know who said that.
Not 95.
Must not be a Yankee
fan. I'm not going to say any names, but, you know, they said that. But you're wrong. Don't say that. And even the caller earlier that was saying Aaron Rodgers. Do you know that Aaron Rodgers, before that freak injury, and I don't know what you think. You played. You could tell me. I think the turf at MetLife Stadium had a lot to do with that injury.
Yeah, I'm not going to disagree. That turf has gotten a few guys.
You can answer that after. But besides the fact there, he prior to that injury, the last 5 years before that, he played 16, 16, 16, 16, and 17 games.
Yeah, even with the thumb injury he played. Yeah.
I mean, he is not injury prone. In fact, he's the other side of it. He's more like an Iron
Man.
He's
old, though.
Really look at
him. He's old, though.
He is a little old, but he's still. But he knows how not to get hit. You know, he knows what he's doing. And one other point I'm making, then I'll let you go. Great show as always. A pleasure speaking with you. Is that his year last the year before last when he had his worst year? 26 touchdowns, 12 interceptions. Does everybody realize that that would be the best year of a Jet quarterback in the last 15 years, his worst year?
Is oh, yeah, we year know.
The Jet court. I mean, if we had Tyrod Taylor last year starting, we would have made the playoffs, I believe. What do you think? I'll leave you with that. Thanks for taking my call, buddy.
I agree. Thanks for the call, Mario. I agree. Tyrod, if he was there, he could have got you to the promised land, potentially. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. I don't know who said Judge only plays 95 games. Maybe they're talking about the years he was hurt. I don't know. But that's why I get on my show and I tell you, I don't know everything, bro. I'm not a computer. I have a MacBook. I don't know everything. I taught myself sports. I'm still teaching myself sports. I have notes. Every day I come in here with a sheet of notes. Shout out to my boy Ben who sends me some notes too. Ben, I ain't even look at your notes. Let me look at your notes, see if there's anything that I missed. Oh, Ben, you ain't sent me no notes today, boy. Boy.
I'm going to have to shout out Ben to call out Ben so quick.
Ben, I just checked the email. I just messed with Ben. Ben is like 16, diehard Mets fan, Knicks fan, and fan of WFAN. He reached out to me like, yo, how can I be a part of your show? How can I help? And I was like, listen, all the other shows have producers, and they make one sheets. And I sent him a one sheet, and I'm like, you want to be a part of my show? You want to help out? I'll give you shout outs. Send me a one sheet. And you know, most of the days it's in an email in a Google Doc. And today I went to check and I'm like, hey, Benny boy, where's the notes? But I told him to take the summer off. He's a kid. I'm like, take the summer off. He's like, no, I don't want the summer off. You know, there are a lot of young guys that listen to WFAN. There's a lot of young guys that have reached out to me to be on their podcast or just for advice and stuff. And man, I go out of my way. I try to, you know, connect with the youth more so than some of you old guys on Twitter. They're like, this guy's unlistenable. His ratings must be in the tank. Can't wait till Ryan Hurley fires this guy. Up in the Bronx, Gio, you're on the Fan. What up?
How you doing, Keith? I listen to you every night on the way home from work. I got out at 11 o'clock, and it's finally nice to talk to you for the first time.
Awesome, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about the Jets schedule. Well, I'm like the Frank the Tank of Jet fans. You know, I always think everything's going to go wrong, and usually I'm right.
There's a ton of those, too. There's a ton of you.
When you were talking about them starting 5-1, you know, I almost drove off the road because I can't even imagine that. But there's a couple of things you left out about their schedule. It might seem easy on paper, but they got a short week. You know, Monday night they start, and then they go to Tennessee on a short week. And then right after that, it's Thursday night at home against New England, another short week. You know, I feel like the schedule makers, you know, really did it to us with that.
Yeah, but like the Patriots.
I know, but short week is still not easy. You know, we should beat them, of course.
Short week three, you're not going to be banged up. I don't know. You should beat the Patriots. You should beat the Titans, too. The Titans, they should have never got rid of Mike Vrabel. They're going Will Levis got to still prove to me that he's who he is. I don't know. But see, that's the Frank the Tank pessimism. You're like, nah, look at, we got primetime games. We got a Monday night game. We got a Thursday night game. You should be fine.
And also that Minnesota game is actually not in Minnesota. It's in London. So that's another factor.
That's right. It's 9:30 a.m. in London, not in Minnesota's palace. I want to go to that.
I think, you know, they hate the Jets for whatever reason. I don't think they like Rodgers, and they try to do it throughout as much as they can.
I know they hate the Jets. I could tell they hated the Jets last year because they should have flexed some of those games. They set up the Jets fans for national failure. They put you on Black Friday. They put you on all these primetime games. They build you up just to break you down.
Yeah, you know, I don't like any of the teams you like. You know, I hate the Yankees, even though I'm from the Bronx. I grew up a Mets fan. Because I'm right over the Whitestone Bridge, so it was always easier to go to Met games. So my dad took me to Met games my whole life. It's one of those weird things.
Good dad. But, I mean, it's whatever team your dad is taking you to go see, awesome. And I don't care if you don't like my teams. I don't like my teams either. If you hear me talk about my own teams, I can't stand them.
Yeah, even though, you know, you get under my skin sometimes, I love listening to you. You seem like a great guy, and I'm always rooting for you. And don't listen to the haters, you know?
Thanks, Gio. I do listen to the haters because it's fun, and I should get under some people's skin. If I didn't get under your skin, like, you wouldn't, I wouldn't have any staying power. It wouldn't mean anything. You got to evoke emotion. I tell you guys all the time, I worked in social media. Similar to radio, social media has two things that are the same. It's on all the time. You can't turn it off. And you have to evoke emotion. What I mean is good, bad, indifferent, whatever. Like, not indifferent. Good, bad. You have to get something. You got to make people feel something. You'll scroll all day until you see something that makes you feel something. You'll listen to the radio and you can turn the dial and you can turn on a CD and a podcast until you hear somebody's voice, like mine, potentially, that breaks through. And if I get under your skin, obviously that stays with you and you come back and you'll hear what I got to say the next time, man. It's a game. It's all part of the game. It's entertainment. I'm not a bad guy. Anybody that's ever actually been around me, you know, I'm a good guy. I'm just trying to make sure my son is rich and my wife is taken care of. Keith McPherson on The Fan. I'll be right back.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Testaverde will take the snap, go to one knee. This game is over. The Jets lock up their first playoff appearance since 1991 on a 21-16 victory over the Miami Dolphins.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Beat in a minute. Eminem, Slim Shady. I haven't listened to the death of Slim Shady yet. I don't know. I don't hate on Eminem because there was a point in time in my life where I was listening to Eminem CDs like consistently, like back to back. And I respect his ability as a rapper, his career, where he came from. But I feel like at this point, man, how old is Slim? Marshall's like, he's over 50 now. Let me go. Marshall Mathers. Age. He's 51. I saw Spike Eskin retweet a tweet about, like, hip-hop is just 50 years old. Like, we were just celebrating last year 50 years of hip-hop. Spike retweeted a tweet, and it was a good point. It was like, stop trying to age out our artists, like Jay-Z. Jay-Z's supposed to be coming out with another album, or Eminem, or whoever it might be. LL Cool J just dropped a new song. It's like, stop trying to age out our artists. We don't do that to rock and roll. We can't wait till, I don't know, Billy Joel goes on tour. We can't wait to see, I don't know.
Bruce Springsteen.
There you go. Greetings from Asbury Park. I should have started with Bruce.
Pearl Jam.
Yeah. What's the dude from the Beatles that still plays?
Paul McCartney.
He's McCartney.
Like also.
And I was like, that's a great point. We're always trying to reserve hip hop for young artists, and not for nothing, a lot of these young artists are trash. I was talking to my boy Zeke. My boy Zeke always hits me up like, yo, what's some new hip hop you're listening to? I'm like, I'm not. I was listening to Cannabis. I was just listening to Method Man, Redman. I was just listening to Dipset. I was just listening to Lox. Like, I'm going back to the stuff that I was listening to in middle school because every Friday, I used to look forward to like new music Fridays, albums dropping, new singles dropping. And when I go and I listen to the new music and I just listen to the playlist and I hit shuffle, I'm like, yo, what is this? Trash. Yeah. I got to work on some bars, yo. I got to work on some raps, man. If I can find some time tomorrow, I'm just too busy during the day. And having a kid is crazy. I don't know how so many people have kids. Like last night, I was up in the middle of the night. My son has his eighth tooth coming in. So it hurts him. He's just waking up in the middle of the night. So we're all up. And he's got these two stuffed animals. They're called Wubba Nubs. So we call them Wubbas. He's got his Yankee Wubba and his Duck Wubba. And he broke the like binky off his Yankee Wubba. And he still sucks on his Duck Wubba. I'm fighting with my wife, like, yo, they're for 6 months and under. He's about to be 16 months next month. We got to get him off. No, Keith, he needs something to sleep with. I'm like, all right. I'm like, but now I'm waking up in the middle of the night, and I come home in the middle of the night, And I'm like, then, all right, what is it? He's got both his wubbas. She says, it's got to be his teeth. So we got to give him some, like, baby Tylenol to kill the pain of his tooth coming in. And then he doesn't sleep right. So when the sun comes up at 5:30, I'm looking in the baby cam, and his eyes are wide open. And then the day is going to start by 6:30. You got to get him out of the crib by 7, give him a bottle. And now we're trying to transition him off the bottle with the nipple on it to, like, a cup with a straw on it. And, like, he's ready to whoop ass. He'll fight me over that. Like, he's really, like, aggressive. Like, he'll, like, snap his body and contort his body so I drop him. And I'm not going to drop him. But then he's, like, violent because he's, I don't know. Having a kid is crazy, man. I was about to go to that caller. I just was trying to kill some time because we got, like, he dropped off. He's like, oh, baby talk, I'm out of here.
Yeah, well, you're really selling it hard.
Yeah. It's great. Being a father is great. It's the best thing that ever happened to me. And it's something that, you know, it changes every week. It changes every month. It evolves. Sometimes my son, he loves me. He loves me not. And I don't even care because he's blacked out right now. Like, this dude's not going to remember any of this. He's not. He doesn't know any of this. He doesn't know what's going on. This kid just learned how to walk. He's just, like, just figuring out how to say words. Like, he was trying to say avocado. He was ah. I'm like, avocado. He loves avocado. He's got to eat avocado every day. So, yeah. DJ in East Brunswick on the fan. That's all we've got. Last call of the night.
Yeah, what's going on, my brother? I appreciate you. Your show is fire. All I had to say is I'm a Cowboy fan just like you. You know, I like where we're going.
Why? Because where are we going? Well, there's expiring contracts. There's a lot of guys that got to get paid. It's going to make the locker room uneasy.
All right. The reason why I like it is because we need a reset. We do. I'm sorry. It needs to happen. Hey, I don't even see Jerry's.
What do we need to reset? With the head coach or the quarterback?
You're both. Like, I would love to have Bill Belichick.
If we start over, we're going to be a fourth place team. If we go, thanks for the call. I would love to have Bill Belichick, Dallas Cowboys fans.
He should have led with his hip hop.
Nah, yo, this season's going to suck for the Cowboys. That's why I'm not doing it. I have literally all my Cowboys gear in a garbage bag in the back of the closet. And I'm about to literally look for NFL gear. You guys are going to see videos and pictures of me hosting with NFL hats and NFL logos. I'm just going to be
Keith Lowe.
Yeah, I mean, like Rob Lowe. I'm just going to be Keith Lowe. I'm going to be rocking the just NFL logo on me. What's your favorite team, NFL? What team you like, NFL? My fantasy team. That's going to be the team I'm rooting for this year.
Favorite week is the bye week.
Pat Boyle is coming up next. We'll do this again one more time tomorrow night. I'm out of here.
Sports Radio 101.9